Good Sunday morning to our Central Baptist Church friends and family. Today is Sunday, May the 10th, but it's also a very, very special day. It is Mother's Day, and as customary at Central Baptist Church, one of the things that we have always done is taken the time to pause and to recognize our mothers. And we want to do that same thing today, even though we're coming to you virtually. I know there are folks that are gathered together and that you're still blessed to be able to have your mother around. We want you to take that time to recognize her today. And if we were actually having the opportunity to meet in person, although it's just a small token of our appreciation, one of the things that we normally do is we would present a carnation or a flower or some type of gift to the mothers. And we don't want this to be any different. Even though we're having to come to you virtually today, I actually have one that's very, very special here with me. It's not my mother, but it is my wife, who is the mother of our son, who also happens to be a tremendous part of my production crew when we've been in this COVID-19 pandemic. So today what I want to do, and if you were with us together, we would present you the exact same thing as well. But I want to say a very special happy Mother's Day, not only to my mother, who is back in West Virginia, my mother-in-law, who is in the living room at this particular point, but also to my wife, and to say to each and every one of you a very special happy Mother's Day. We trust and pray that that God is going to give you a great, great day. If you do happen to have your Bible, we're going to be looking at a passage. It's an Old Testament passage. Comes out of the book of 2 Kings in chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Go ahead and turn there if you would. There are a couple of passages. As a matter of fact, the passages right before the ones we're going to read today give some really, really great qualities of a godly mother. When we kind of look at these passages, one of the things I want us to keep in mind today is that this was back in the days of the Old Testament. This was before Christ. It was before the death, burial, and resurrection. This was before we had the opportunity to be able to go straight to God through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. This was the days when the prophets were a very special part of being able to communicate God's word and God's will to people. And I want you to keep in mind, and I'll try to remind you as we go about that, because that plays a pretty significant part in this story that we're going to look at today. We want to look at some qualities of a fantastic mother. We pray that you will have these qualities. We'll pray that that the Lord will highlight these things in your life. If you're out there and you're a mother, I trust and pray that these are qualities that people will have an opportunity to see in you. I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter 4. We're actually going to begin reading at verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. It says, "And now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, 'Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there.' And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call the Shunammite woman.' When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, 'Say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' And she answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' So he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, 'Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old.' So he said, 'Call her.' When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, which Elisha had told her. Verse 18, and the child grew. And now it happened one day that he went out to his father unto the reapers. And he said, Father, my head, my head. So he said to a servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee till noon, then died. Verse 21, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and to come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. So she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. The man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. So she said, did I ask a son, my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. If anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. Then Elisha came into the house, and there was the child laying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and laid on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her. And when she came in to him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. And then she picked up her son and went out. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we do so knowing that you are a powerful God. Father, as we take these moments to gather around your word, we just ask that you would speak to each and every heart. Lord, we thank you for those that carry the title mother with them, not only, Father, for a small period of time, but forever and for all of eternity. We know that you have built them in very, very special ways. Today, Lord, help us to reflect upon the qualities of a mother that you saw great enough to include in your word. Lord, speak to our hearts, move us in your direction, and Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Yes, quite an interesting story. I mentioned just a moment ago that in these particular passages, There's another passage about a woman and her two sons just prior to where we started reading today. Matter of fact, if you start off in chapter 4 in the first part, you'll see another story about a mother and her sons. And I want to encourage you to read that sometime today. But today we want to deal with the passages that we just discovered in chapter 4, verses 8 through 37, concerning a lady, her qualities as she reached out to the man of God, the prophet of God, a man named Elisha. And Elisha was a fella that along the way, he evidently was doing ministry. He would travel by that way, and often he would stop at this Shunammite lady's house, and he would have a bite to eat. Yeah, in other words, she would feed him. It was kind of like the guest preacher or the evangelist. You know, she would kind of have him over whenever he happened to be in the area. But this was a lady who also had a gift of hospitality. She knew what it was like to have an opportunity to use that gift and talent and ability to serve the Lord. And she wanted to do the very, very best that she could in helping out Elisha. So not only was she taking the time to prepare a meal when for him when he would come through and take care of his whole crew, really. I'm sure Gehazi, his servant, was there with him as well, because you notice there was some plurality in the scriptures along the way. But then the lady says to her husband, she got a little honey-do list for him, and she said, well, you know what, here's something that we could do that would make this even better. What we can do is I want you to go up and kind of build onto the house. I want you to build a room on for him, so not only when he comes by can he get a bite to eat, he'll also have the opportunity to be able to have a place to put his head, a place to sleep, a place to study, a place that he can use for some personal and private time to be alone with God. And she cared enough to do something very, very special, and that was called get involved. So many times today, I know that in my lifetime, I've seen a lot of folks that have talents and abilities for the Lord, but they don't want to get involved. Often they don't want to get involved because it's going to be costly. It's going to be costly financially. It's going to be costly when it comes down to time. It's going to be costly when it comes to effort or energy. But here was a lady who had a special gift, and she wasn't afraid to get involved. Man, what a quality of a great mother to have compassion. You also want to throw in the fact that when it came down to compassion, that's what children often look for in a mom. Even in the particular story that we're looking at, it says that the boy went out to the field to be with his father. And when he cried out, my head, what was it that dad did? Dad said, well, take him to his mama. So he was led back to mother, who we know in this particular passage of scripture, it says that she was sitting there and she was holding him. She was probably comforting him. Yeah, I know what it's like when you have a sick child, and I know what it feels like from the perspective of a father, but I don't know what that perspective is like from a mother. I know what I've seen my own mother go through, and many really good mothers, a lot of mothers I know through our church, and a lot of women that I know that are fantastic mothers, the nights that you've set up and watched those fevers, the sleep that you've missed, the meals that you prepared, and in a lot of cases, maybe even you did without, but you had compassion on your children. I can picture what that must have been like as that mother was sitting there rocking that small child on her lap, only to find out a few hours later that the child passes away, that the child dies. Now, we'll come back to that in just a moment, but there was another quality that we see in this lady. Yeah, it was very interesting that as Elisha saw these great qualities, he wanted to do something for her. And he said, what is it that we can do as a way to be able to say thank you to this lady? I mean, she's had her husband build on a place at the house so that we can have a place to stay. She feeds us when we come through. You know, I'd like for us to be able to do something to kind of repay her or to show her some gratitude. And they were having this conversation, and Elisha even says, you know, I know some pretty powerful people. I can speak to the king on your behalf, you know, whether it's a financial type issue, whether you want to move to a different place. And it is so ironic that in verses 12 through 17 of chapter 4, we find out this lady says, I'll dwell with mine own people. You know what she was saying? She was basically saying that she was content with the provision that God had given her. You know, we read in other places in the Bible that the Lord tells us this. He says that we're to be content where we are and with what we have. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't strive to be in a better place, but what it means is that we can't get caught up in the lust and the wants of this world. We can't sit back and always covet somebody else's stuff or where they are. God says, I've put you where I put you, and given you what I've given you for a certain and particular reason. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't work to improve that, but the question is, are you content to be where you are? Here was a lady who had an opportunity. She could have said, well, you know what? If you could tell the king that I need some money, so I need a new place to live or whatever, there's a really good chance that Elisha would have gone and done that and would have seen those particular things happen and they would have taken place. But she said, no. She said, you know, I'm fine. I am content with what God's given me. I am content to be where I am. Now, you got to keep in mind, this was before she had the child. This is when Elisha was trying to find something that he could do that would be very, very special in her life. And she wasn't asking for a thing. In fact, when he went to her, she said, nope, I'm pretty fine right where I am. But yet Elisha said, at Gehazi's beckoning, Gehazi said, well, you know what? She doesn't have a son. So then you talk about a step of faith. Elisha says to her, this time next year, you will have a son. Now, what we know that according to the scripture is she didn't have any children. Whether she was barren, whether she was not able to have any children, whatever the cause was, she had been through life up to this particular point. And the word says that she and her husband were older. So this was another one of those things that was a real impossibility according to the way that man sees things. And Elisha says to her, okay, I'll tell you what, next year this time you are going to have a son. And could you imagine how shocked she was? I'm sure that, matter of fact, she says, oh, don't tell me that. Don't tell me a lie. Don't get me excited to that degree for something that I would love to happen. And then all of a sudden it not happen. But yeah, he concluded that it was her desire to be able to have a son. And within that year or that year later, he said about this time next year, she did bring forth a son. You see, folks, God honors the contentment of our hearts and our lives. You know, if we're always busy trying to get out of where we are, then we don't enjoy where God's placed us. We don't learn the lessons that God wants us to learn along the way. And here was a lady who said, nope, I'm fine right where I am. And God allowed her to have something very, very special. He allowed her to have the desire of her heart. So let me ask you this today. Moms out there, are you content? Are you content where you are? But there was another quality that we see in this woman. We saw that she had confidence in the power of God. You know, I've read this story so many times out of chapter 4 of 2 Kings, and I've often wondered what it must have been like. I've seen through the years that I've spent on this earth, the panic that sets in when there is a problem with a child and how a parent really just kind of panics, particularly when it's something that's a serious situation. We know that this story tells us that the child died on the mother's lap. And it says that she carried him up and she put him on the bed of the prophet Elisha, the room that she and her husband had built for him. Now, he had headed off. As she set out for the field, she said, you know, I need a donkey. I need a servant. Her husband kind of had a question. It's like, well, why do you need him? It's not the time. It's not the Sabbath. It's not the new moon. Why do you need him? And she says to her husband, and get this, it is well. It is well. Knowing in her heart that her child has died, and she says, it is well. She gets the servant and the donkey, and she heads. And matter of fact, we know that the word tells us she's going at a fast pace. She said, you run this donkey and don't you let up unless I tell you to. So we know there was a sense of urgency on her part to get to Elisha. And then when she gets close, he sees her coming a long way off and sends the servant out and asks the question, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And the word says, what does she say? It is well. Well, until the opportunity to see Elisha realized that there was something that was not right. You know, she says that the child has died. And Elisha sends the servant, says, take my staff, go. I want you to lay this staff across the child. And I love the persistence of this particular Shunammite woman. And she told the prophet, she said, you know what, no matter what happens, I'm not leaving you. You know, in her heart, you see, she had the faith. Now, remember earlier in the message, I said that there was something very important about this particular time and this particular era. This was in the days of the Old Testament. This was prior to the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is when we didn't have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. We didn't have that. So essentially what took place and what happened was that the prophets were the way to be able to get a hold of God. That was the way it would work. That was the way it would take place. So she knew that this was the way for her to be able to get a hold of God. Now, in our day and age, we bow our head because of being a believer in Christ. We bow our head and we say, Our Father, and He says, Yes, Roy, or insert your name if you're praying. Why? Because we trusted in Christ. But this was all before Christ. So she was trusting. She had faith. You know what faith is? We've defined that so many times, but faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, she was telling everybody, it is well. Why? Because she believed that God could do it through His servant. She wasn't doubting. She wasn't shaken out of the frame, although there was a sense of urgency to her. She kept saying, it is well. She sends for Elijah, and she knew that God would care for the child. Moms all over the world today, I'm asking you this. Those that can hear this broadcast, do you allow God and trust God to care for your child? I know that there are times out there that you may have some children that are in a backslidden condition. Are you trusting God to bring them home like the prodigal? I know that there may be some health concerns or whatever the situation may be. I'm asking you if you're having the faith and the trust in God to see your child through. And some of you might sit back and say, but you don't understand the situation that I'm in right now. You don't understand where my children are right now. Maybe I don't, but here's what I do know. I do know that from the scripture that we have read today, here was a lady whose son had died, and she didn't give up hope. She didn't give up her faith. She was trusting in what God could do. Now, one thing I can promise you is that I don't think that at this particular point, the circumstance in your life with your children is a situation where they have died. Yeah, this was a lady who was making trust that God not only could, that He would, and that He would do it through His servant Elisha. And what happened was Elisha went there. It says that Elisha stretched his body out over the child. It says that he put his lips to his lips, his eyes to his eyes, his hands to his hands. It said then he got up, and I'm sure that along the way he was praying, he was crying out to God. You know, God, you need to help this child because you can, for no other reason other than because you can. This is a lady who's trusting you to do something incredible because you can. Let me ask you this. Is that the way you're rolling today? Are you trusting God and saying, Lord, no matter what the circumstance is, I believe that you can? It says that even when Elisha was in the process of doing these things, it said he got up and he paced back and forth. Don't know what was going through his heart. Don't know what was going through his mind at that point, but it says that he went back and he did this again, and it says that the child sneezed 7 times and was alive. No brain damage. As a matter of fact, we know the child had been dead long enough that the child was cold, rigor mortis had set in, and before God got finished, the child was warm, the child was alive, and the child was returned to the arms of his mother. What a beautiful story. Let me ask you this. Is your faith in the same category as that of this Shunammite woman? Do you trust God enough? See, listen, you trust God. You don't have to trust God through a servant such as a pastor today. You have the high priest as a believer. You have Jesus Christ that when you bow your head and you call upon the Lord, He calls you by name. You get an audience with a holy God through Jesus the Son. Are you trusting Him? Are you taking your cares before Him, no matter what the circumstances may be? Now, I want to say this as we think about this mother who was rewarded and how God had answered the prayers, and He's answered the prayer of many, many mothers today. But as we close today, here's something that I want you to think about. I want you to see that this was a mother who was In a very interesting time, we can see several mothers in this passage today. Today is not a very celebratory day for a lot of women around this world. And the reason why is because they would desperately love to be able to have the title mother, but they cannot. I think about this Shunammite woman, and I think about most of her life, she didn't have a child. Most of her life, when she desired to be a mother, and probably the times when she cried out to God for a child, and yet she was barren for all those years. You know, God did smile upon her at a time when she didn't think it was possible, at a time when God could get the most credit and the most glory. But today I want us also, as we celebrate moms, to remember those who desperately would love to be able to be called mother, but for whatever circumstance or for whatever reason, they don't have that title today. You know what? I say to you, moms, don't give up on God. God is able. If he can bring a child back from the dead, he can certainly give you a child. For whatever reason, I want you to know that we pray for you today. I pray for you in that circumstance and situation. I pray that someday you might be able to hear the joyous words that this Shunammite woman heard when she said, about this time next year, you'll have a little one. But I'm also want to ask that you trust God for all the answers. I also want to ask that if the Lord says no, that you can be content where you are, like the Shunammite woman. I pray that with God's given you children and you are moms out there, I pray that you thank God for your children, that you pray for your children, but that you trust God to see them through. You know, you need to be praying about those future husbands and wives. You need to be praying about the health and the well-being of your children. You need to ask God to lead and to guide them. And then we need to have the faith and the trust that God's going to do exactly that. Moms, you have a special, special job. You have been given a tremendous title to be called mother. You have the compassion that God has put in the hearts of moms. You have the care and the well-being of those children to help mold them into what it is that God wants them to be most of all, and that's servants of his and pleasing in his sight. And I'm asking you today, do you have the faith and do you have the trust? You can't have that unless you first have Jesus. You know, I want to say to you today, if you don't have Jesus, that can change right this very moment. If you've never trusted him, if you've never asked him to come into your life and to save your soul and to forgive your sins, you can do that today. I simply ask that you bow with me today and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Father, forgive my sin. Lord, I ask Jesus into my heart today. Save my soul and help me live a life that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you did that, I always say, hey, we want to celebrate with you. That's what we're here for. That's what we're all about. You have joined a very special family at that particular point. You have been born again into the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, that just sounds like it's too easy. No. See, the Lord now wants us to live like him. So if you prayed that prayer and you don't know where to begin, listen, we want to celebrate with you anyway. Please go to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. You'll find my email address there, our telephone number. Please call us. Contact us in some way that we might have an opportunity to get you some discipleship material so that you can grow in your relationship with the Lord and your walk with him. And we can celebrate with you. That's what we really love to do, is celebrate that the family of God has been increased. Maybe you're here today and you haven't been trusting the Lord like you should. Maybe you've been trying to do it all yourself, and maybe you've had those doubts. I'm praying that you will become like this Shunammite woman, that when, regardless of what's taking place, that through Christ, you will be able to say, it is well. You know what? I know there are people who have children down that wayward path. When you turn them over to Jesus, can you say, it is well? Yeah, I know it hurts your heart. I know it breaks your heart. But I'm praying that you'll be able to get to the point where you can truly say, it is well, because God is in control. Thank you for joining us today. I pray that you'll take this time, call mom. If you have a chance to go visit with her, please do that. If you had an opportunity, if your mom is in heaven right now and she raised you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, listen, say a prayer And thank God that you had the mom that you had and that you were blessed in the fashion in which you were blessed. Because God truly is good. And all the time, God really, really is good. Again, we anxiously await the day when we'll be able to gather in services. We're working on a plan as we speak. We might even be able to start meeting next Sunday. Our leadership team this morning will be talking about some of those things. I want to encourage you, if that's the case, please pay attention to your social media as well as your email, because if we are, I will probably be putting out a special instructional video on what will take place and how it will take place. It's just so much easier to do that through a video format than trying to get it all written out. But we will send you some information beforehand to let you know what time we'll probably try to post an instructional video. But please pray for our leadership team as we work on leading us through the crisis called COVID-19. I believe actually this is the seventh, maybe the eighth Sunday that we've been out. So that's been almost 2 months since we've had a chance to meet face to face. Keep our leadership team in your prayers. I'm going to ask you to do this. We always ask those that are our members at Central Baptist Church to be faithful, remain faithful to the tithe and the offering, that God might bless you as you continue to worship Him. There are several ways that you can maintain that. We've put those out before, but you can mail it into Central Baptist Church. You can use the online giving, or you can drop it by the church. Our office hours are 9 to 4, Monday through Thursday. We would like for our accounting team, if you're going to bring it by the church, please try to do that by lunchtime on Wednesday so that the proper accounting can take place, and that way your gifts won't be sitting around for the next week. But if you're an electronic giver and you're one of our members, I'm going to ask you in just a few moments to go over to our website. If you're one of our guests, I tell you, it's been impressive to see how many folks have been watching us up and down the East Coast. You know, we don't ask you to give, but we won't stop you from giving either. If you would like to contribute to Central Baptist Church and its ministries, you can go to the website as well. Once again, www.oakridgecbc.org. You'll look for the little giving tab. You can click that and then you can make your contribution there. And by the way, folks, this is your giving is an act of worship. So I'm going to ask that you do that right now, and then I will catch you on Wednesday evening for our Wednesday evening prayer meeting. Let me say our offertory prayer, and we'll see you on Wednesday. Let's pray together. Father God, you're good to us. All provision comes from you, even as we have seen from the Shunammite woman in these particular scriptures. Lord, she was content with what you had given her. Father, I know that you'll never give us more if you can't trust us with what you've already given to us. Father, I pray that our tithes and our offerings are truly an act of worship to you. Lord, you say in your word, try me when it comes down to that. I pray that we will put you to the test there, that your work and your word may go forward from Central Baptist Church. May you bless the gift and the giver as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, y'all have a happy Mother's Day. See you Wednesday.